Let's read together 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This chapter is Paul's exhortation to the Corinthians to give a financial gift to help support the needy saints of Jerusalem. And in this chapter, we see a number of biblical principles for Christian giving. Let's begin by reading the first 15 verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but I test the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And in this I give advice. It is to your advantage not only to be doing what you began and were desiring to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, with some background notes. We saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 that Titus had returned from Corinth and met Paul in Macedonia with the good news that the Corinthian Christians had responded to Paul's written rebukes with the right attitude. They had repented and dealt properly with a number of the problems in the church. However, there were still some matters that needed to be resolved. One remaining problem, of course, was the matter of the false apostles who were undermining the authority of the Apostle Paul. Paul will get back to this important matter in chapters 10 through 13. But here in chapters 8 and 9, the subject is the collection that Paul was making for the needy saints in Jerusalem. We see in verses 10 and 11 that the Corinthians had begun to make this collection a year before the writing of this letter. This was in response to Paul's exhortation at the end of his letter of 1 Corinthians. The Corinthians had made a good start at getting this fund together, but they had tapered off for some reason. Paul is urging them to complete this worthy service of Christian giving. We see in verse 6 that Titus had been put in charge of overseeing this work, and when Titus returned from Corinth, as we saw in chapter 7, he obviously shared with Paul the status of this fund for the poor saints in Jerusalem. And we see here in verses 16 and 17 that Titus was not only concerned about the spiritual well-being of the Corinthians, but also about this important collection as well. Let's read verses 16 and 17. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus, for he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord. And now in verses 18 through 24, we see that Titus was being sent back to Corinth, along with a couple of other brethren, not only as the mailman to carry this epistle, but also with the responsibility to get this fund collected and delivered to their poor and needy fellow believers in Jerusalem. Let's read verses 18 through 24. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift, which is administered by us to the glory of the Lord himself, and to show your ready mind, avoiding this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent, because of the great confidence which we have in you. If anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Therefore show to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. We don't know who these two other Christians were who traveled with Titus, but the fact that there are several brethren for handling the funds is an important principle for churches and ministries to follow today. It safeguards against the wrong use of the Lord's money, including questions and rumors, verse 20. And it is the honorable thing to do in the sight of God and men, verse 21. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We have one doctrinal point with seven subpoints. The doctrinal point is believers should follow the biblical principles of giving. Believers should follow the biblical principles of giving. Now the subpoints are seven principles of Christian giving that we see in this chapter. Subpoint number one, give yourself first. Give yourself first. In the first five verses of this chapter, Paul used the churches of Macedonia as a good example of Christian giving to motivate the Corinthian Christians to give. The Macedonian churches would have included Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. Now look at what Paul says about the Macedonians in verse 5. They first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. The Macedonians first gave their own selves, then gave their own substance. If we are not really into our giving, it is not true Christian giving. After all, the Lord doesn't need our substance or service. He could have money grow on trees and have angels do all the work, but he wants us. This is primary. Subpoint number two. A second principle of Christian giving is seen in verse 3. Give to the point of sacrifice. Give to the point of sacrifice. The Macedonians were not giving the surplus off the top or whatever amount happened to be left over at the end of the month. No. Verse 2 shows us that these Christians were poor and under pressure to begin with, and yet they gave in the midst of their problems and in spite of their poverty. They gave till it really hurt. Certainly our measly contribution of a few dollars or an hour a week falls far short of this divine principle. Now, how far should we carry this principle of sacrifice? Well, the next two principles of Christian giving give us guidelines. Subpoint number 3, give after the example of Christ. Give after the example of Christ. Verse 9, how much did the Lord Jesus give? He gave all. And it wasn't just for his friends. He gave his whole life for his enemies and for the likes of you and me. Why? So that we, through his poverty, might become rich. But now, how does one give it all? Should we sell all that we own and go around in a pair of old jeans and a t-shirt and live in a cheap apartment? Well, that wouldn't be the worst reaction to this principle. And some of us may be called upon to live very much like this. However, Scripture is always balanced. The balancing principle here is found in verses 13 through 15, which is subpoint number 4. Give towards equality. Give towards equality. Although the Macedonians were not wealthy, they did have more than those in Jerusalem at this time. And so it was right that they aim for equality. The intent was not that the Christians in Jerusalem should be eased to the point where the Corinthians would be poverty-stricken, verse 13. No, the aim was for equality. When we see others with a greater need than ourselves, we should at least make a start toward equality. Something is wrong if we are too comfortable while others are in need. Subpoint number 5, give willingly. give willingly. This principle of giving is emphasized in verses 3, 4, 8, and 12. From these verses, we see that Paul was not commanding the Corinthians to give. It was to be totally voluntary, as a proof that their Christian love was sincere. Verse 8, the Macedonians had been very willing. They actually begged Paul for the privilege of being able to share in meeting the needs of their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. What an example to the Corinthians. What a message to us. And subpoint 6, give what you have. Give what you have. Verse 12, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. The point here is that the Lord does not expect us to give what we don't have, but he does expect us to give on the basis of what we do have. Maybe another way of stating this sixth principle is as follows. The Lord doesn't look so much on what we give as on what we have left. And finally, subpoint number 7, give according to plan. Give according to plan. Verse 11. Desire is not enough in Christian giving. There must be a deliberate setting aside of time, talent, and treasure, and then an actual giving in accordance with that plan. The Corinthians were not to stop with good intentions. They were to complete what they had purposed. Many of us Christians have good intentions and desires in the area of Christian giving, but we never really get out the pencil and paper, as it were, and deliberately plan our financial giving or how much TV and magazine time we will sacrifice each week in order to give of ourselves to the work of the Lord. Christian giving will never come off with desire alone. We must give according to deliberate and studied plan. Well, here are 7 biblical principles for Christian giving from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Believers should follow the biblical principles of giving. Now, what about practical application? Be a well-rounded Christian. Be a well-rounded Christian. Verse 7. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. When Titus returned with the good news from Corinth, Paul could say that the Corinthian Christians abounded in faith and spiritual gifts and knowledge and earnestness and love, but not yet in financial giving. Paul exhorts them to be well-rounded Christians and abound in the area of financial giving as well. Now, do you know any Christians like that? They are wonderful Christians. They love the Lord and the Lord's people. They are always willing to help out and give of their time and their talents and their abilities. They are faithful and knowledgeable and mature and earnest and zealous, but they are tight. They have a hard time giving money to the work of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7 would indicate that until you abound in this area as well, you are not a well-rounded Christian. Be a well-rounded Christian.